I'm joined today by a superintendent who is new to Wisconsin and, in my opinion, is doing some amazing things in the district she serves. Liz Freeman is a native of Illinois, but took on the superintendent's position in the Cedar Grove, Belgium Area School District here in Wisconsin this last year. She serves as superintendent of four schools and has also taken on the role of authorizing liaison as she serves their public charter school called Rocket Academy.
Would Liz Freeman please come down to the principal's office?
Welcome to Homeroom, a podcast from the Wisconsin Resource Center for Charter Schools. Here, we bring you the latest state and national updates, important announcements, and candid conversations with education leaders from across Wisconsin. I'm Tim Scopper, Associate Director of the Wisconsin Resource Center for Charter Schools, and I'll be your guide for today's announcements. Plus, we'll be calling one lucky superintendent or education leader down to the principal's office for an inside look at what's happening in their districts and communities. Let's get started.
Liz Freeman, thank you so much for being on our podcast. So you're an interesting guest for me to have on this podcast, partly because this is your first year in Cedar Grove, Belgium, as the superintendent, but it also is because prior to this, you were from out of state. Is that correct?
Yeah. This is my first year in the district, and I am a transplant from Illinois. So if you know where Lake Geneva is, If you go just south of there into Illinois, there's a little town called Woodstock, which is where I'm from. And Woodstock is very famous because it was in the classic movie Groundhog Day. So you may have recognized it from there.
Nice. So wait, it wasn't Punxsutawney that was in the movie Groundhog Day?
Right. And every year now they have a celebration for Groundhog Day. Everyone comes to the town square. It's a big to do.
I need to get there with my kids. I think that would be great fun. We just introduced them to Groundhog Day. So they're big fans now. And now they know who Bill Murray is, but I can't show them most of his movies. So that'll be when they're older.
There you go. It's a classic movie.
Thanks again for that background. What did you do in Illinois when you were in education, kind of leading up to becoming a superintendent?
Yeah, well, this is my 30th year in public education. If you can believe that, time really does fly. I've been a classroom teacher in middle school and high school, and then found myself into administration. And so was a curriculum director at the high school level, assistant superintendent of curriculum, instruction, and technology, a chief academic officer, and now superintendent.
Wow. So that is a lot of roles. How would you say those different roles have set you up for becoming a superintendent? Because I can see the progression, but I've also worked with people in all of those roles before as an administrator and as a teacher, and now as somebody working with the Wisconsin Resource Center for Charter Schools and working with superintendents all over the state. But that's not a typical resume necessarily that I would see in a superintendent coming up. So tell me a little bit about that and your roles there.
Sure. I think what was most important, not only those different roles that I had, but the different types of schools that I worked in. So as a classroom teacher, I worked in both a rural high school and in a Title I urban setting. And to just experience those two different atmospheres really helped me grow as a classroom teacher, understand what works with kids. And then really in the end, it's about building relationships. Doesn't matter what kind of building you're in, but if you can connect with kids, they'll go the extra mile for you. And then through my curriculum and instruction days, it's just developing that deep understanding of what does learning look like? What does it look like when the students are really engaged, when they're grasping new content, and when that light bulb goes off? So it's been really a treat to go through those different roles.
I appreciate that a lot. I think because when I'm working with curriculum directors around the state, one of the big questions that I have consistently, and it's a session that I lead at different conferences, is really around, you could call it a philosophy of education, but really it's beliefs about how students learn. And so to hear you kind of focus in on that, I think is really important. So tell me about some of the big differences that you have seen going from Illinois and then coming up into the Wisconsin scene of education. Maybe similarities, but also differences that you're experiencing in this first year in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest differences that I've noticed just in my first 6 or 7 months in Wisconsin is this concept of open enrollment. That really doesn't exist in Illinois. Kids are, of course, able to have options and different schools to go to. But as I've gotten my feet on the ground here, I realize that it's really two things. It's a great challenge for districts to make sure that we're keeping our students and that there's some finances attached to that that are pretty complicated. But it's also a huge opportunity to encourage excellence in our district, to open our doors to other students who we might be the best fit for. But that's number one, the biggest difference that I've seen Illinois to Wisconsin is the concept of open enrollment.
That's interesting. I'm not super familiar myself with how open enrollment works in Illinois. I do think it's a little bit more free market in a sense in Wisconsin, which as a former administrator and somebody who also was a principal of a charter school where all students are open enrolled because it's all choice. It's kind of the world that I live in and work with schools on, and I do think it's interesting that we have so much choice in Wisconsin. So what made you decide Cedar Grove? So tell me about that as people who I'm hoping will listen to this podcast in Cedar Grove, Belgium, and get to know you a little bit more. Like, what made you choose Cedar Grove?
Yeah, I think the start of it was I have family in Milwaukee and in Oshkosh. So I was constantly up here, either traveling Route 41 or coming up Route 43. Mm-hmm. So they've always been kind of whispering in my ear, Liz, give it a try. I think you'll like Wisconsin. So that's kind of where it truly started. But then seeing the position posted and then doing some additional research, it just really started to sound like a good fit. I'm kind of a farm girl to begin with, grew up in a rural area. My first job was working at a horse stable, doing all that hard work, going to county fairs. And so a part of me is just really drawn to communities like Cedar Grove, Belgium. And then as I was preparing for the interview process, you dig into some of the research and you just realize, gosh, this is even more interesting than I thought it might be. Strong academic performance. We have a wonderful strategic plan. Our facilities have never looked better because we just completed some referendum work. So once I really got digging into it, I was hooked and knew I wanted to apply. I was so fortunate to be selected. It was a really rigorous process. It took several rounds of interviews. Some of them lasted, I don't know, 10 or 12 hours by the time you got to meet the community and met with different interview teams. But I couldn't be happier that I was selected to be superintendent here.
I would have thought it had to do more with the fact that you could be closer to Green Bay with the Packers, you know, the homeland. And we won't go in on this podcast as to what team you are a fan of. Hailing from Illinois, I stayed a Bears fan until high school when my teachers were just in way better moods when the Packers won. And I just started to naturally root deep down, like, let them win. Let them win. Right. It's going to be a better Monday if they win. What expectations have you had that you feel like have been fulfilled already? And what kind of expectations did you have of Wisconsin education and becoming a superintendent that haven't been fulfilled?
Yeah, I think one of my expectations that has been exceeded was my expectation that I'd be joining a really strong academic community. I think that I gotta think about this one, Tim.
It's a big question. I mean, nobody wants to throw in there like, oh, these are the things that just haven't been. And I get that. The cheese is obviously better up here. So
Right. I think some of the expectations that I had were that I'd be joining a really dynamic team, and they absolutely are, that students would be very engaged and motivated, and they definitely are. I think what's exceeded my expectations is just how supportive the community is. I noticed that early on in the fall. I attended the football games and the stands were packed. The entire town comes to the football games. And so it was just a really special thing to see how involved not only parents are, but the community as a whole.
That's excellent. I appreciate that. Having had been a teacher in Ripon, you know, the very first football game we went to, I remember just seeing the stadium packed, and it was just so cool to see in a new town that you have now moved to, that you are now part of something that's bigger than yourself, and yet you get to serve in a capacity that's serving everybody in those stands. So I think that's really cool. What are some initiatives of Cedar Grove, Belgium that is that you're working on right now that you're excited about, maybe that are upcoming or that have just been kind of part of the planning process as you've been watching? Because I know the first year as a superintendent is not an easy year. People have expectations of you, but then you are also watching and learning and growing, which I'm sure, you know, every interview that I've been a part of in a school district for a superintendent, it's kind of my first year I'm hoping to watch. Nobody's trying to shake things up, but there still needs to be movement and there's still a strategic plan that you're working through that you've adopted. So what are some of the things that you guys are working on right now that you're excited about?
Yeah, we have so many things we're working on, and I'm excited about all of them. You mentioned having a good strategic plan, and I was fortunate that one was just developed as I was stepping into this role. And it's really a comprehensive plan that was collaboratively developed with staff input. So that's always really important. I think it's a student-centered strategic plan. Yeah. It really honors staff and the commitment that our staff have. One of the areas that we've been focusing on quite a bit this year, like most districts in Wisconsin, is learning about early literacy through Act 20. Mm. Our staff have really been committed to that. They've been investing a lot of time in professional development. They've been working to apply these new strategies in their classroom. Mm. So that's really been great to see. Another thing that we've had is just recently our middle school was recognized as a National Blue Ribbon Middle School.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a recognition of the highest level through the Department of Education. And so it's really been quite fun to watch the students recognize and celebrate their accomplishments in that area. Another unique thing that we're just getting off the ground here at Cedar Grove Belgium School District is we're in the design phase for a school forest. So
really?
Yes, we have some acreage that's just beyond our high school that's been currently sown and rented out to a farmer, but we're ready to start building our school forest. So we have preliminary designs, has an outdoor classroom space. It has some trails that'll be useful for PE classes, for our cross-country team, and it'll just be a beautiful resource for our community too.
That is so cool. I feel like the amount of learning that happens with students in nature, there are entire schools wrapped around the concept. And I think that it has all data backs up that it's a good thing. So I did not know that about your school district. And I think I'm just pumped about what you're doing with that. I have more questions later on for you along with that. So, very cool. Okay. I'll stop geeking out on that. What do you want your, you know, this is a question I like to ask superintendents whenever we do something that kind of goes out to the public. First, what do you want your teachers to know right now? What's important in terms of messaging to get out to your staff and your teachers in your district?
I think when I reflect on just how challenging the teaching profession is as a whole, I would want our teachers and our entire staff here in the district to know that we appreciate their efforts. I know that they stay up late at night. They wake up early in the morning. They're doing lesson plans. They're thinking about their students 24/7. And just that commitment and dedication that they have to the craft does not go unnoticed. Our principals are constantly talking about how excellent our staff is and how important they are to students. And it's nice for them to know that here they're very appreciated. They're important. Without them, we wouldn't have public education. And so we're so grateful for everything they do to support our students.
That's awesome. I cannot tell you how much I saw my staff band together, but also struggle through post-COVID times because we have a lack of teachers and they're subbing like crazy, where normally they would have a prep hour and that prep hour was devoted to all the things they were normally, you know, not having to do as much at home, and now they're doing at home. And so I see a high burnout rate for staff if they don't have that support of their administration. And so it's great to hear that you can recognize just the amount of hard work that they're putting in. What do you want your families to know? Now, your families and your community as a whole to just know.
You know, when I reflect on the communities here and our family support, it's just so important that they're engaged in their children's experiences in the school district. We offer so many options for students. We have a strong fine arts program. We have a top-notch athletics program. We have options for students like esports. So we try and have something for everyone. And it's really through family support that we're able to do that. Because they're the ones driving to pick up students after practice. They're the ones checking homework late at night, making sure that students are prepared for the next day. So the fact that they are such a supportive community allows us to do the great work that we do with children every day. It's really, I always think of us as being partners with families, and I hope that they can feel that in our district communications, that they know that families are welcome in our district.
That is an important message. I don't know that families hear that enough, and so I think that's it's a wonderful thing to be able to broadcast out to people. How about students? What do you want your students in your district to know?
Yeah, well, I'll start by saying that I'm just so impressed by today's youth. Everything about them, their sense of caring, their curiosity about the world, their willingness to jump in and try something, their adventuresome spirit. I just have such an appreciation of all ages. Take me from pre-kindergarten through high school seniors, and I just think they all bring something that's so special to our district. I think what I'd want them to know is that they have unlimited options ahead of them. And when they're in our schools, this is the time for them to explore and try new things, to join different clubs, to stretch their thinking, and to really just consider, like, what's my next step? My hope for students is that when they walk across that graduation stage, that they have options ahead of them, that they can pursue whatever it is that's their ambition, their interest, their pastime, and that we've equipped them to be ready to do that.
Awesome. You talked about options just now, and that's going to lead me into my next set of questions for you because you and I have worked together now for about a year. I work for the Wisconsin Resource Center for Charter Schools, as I mentioned earlier, and you have a charter school in your district, and you have actively engaged in that process as a superintendent of kind of acting as the liaison. So when we say authorizer, and I talk about the word authorizer, I mean the district authorizes a charter school to exist in Wisconsin. There are independent charter schools, but they still need to be authorized as well. But in your case, we call it an instrumentality because your charter school, Rocket Academy, is an instrument of the district. So when we talk about that, I'm just curious, what talk to me from your perspective about Rocket Academy.
Sure. And I can kind of give a picture of what Rocket Academy is for folks who aren't familiar with it. Rocket Academy is a charter school that we have that our district authorizes, and it's got some very unique qualities to it that perhaps make it distinguished from other charter schools across Wisconsin. So one unique aspect of the way it's designed is it's for juniors and seniors, upperclassmen in high school, who have an interest in advanced technology, trades, and manufacturing. We have a state-of-the-art building, school, and classroom lab that has high-tech manufacturing equipment, tools, materials readily available for them. It is a brand new building. We just had our grand opening in November, our ribbon cutting event, and it is, you have to see it to believe it when you walk in there. We have welding booths, we have CNC machining, we have some plasma cutters. It's really a great learning environment. In addition to that, it's not just about juniors and seniors having a trade pathway and preparing for a high demand job in manufacturing, but we've got some unique structures of the way the academic programming is designed. So, first and foremost, is that it's a competency-based education model. And what that means, I know you know what it means, but I'll speak to others who
Yeah,
might be
please do.
listening, that it is students essentially work at their own pace, progressing through the learning at their own speed. So if a student needs to go slower because they're struggling to understand the content or just want to read it again, take their time, put their hands on it to see what it looks like in reality, they're granted additional time to do that. Likewise, if they're really motivated and the content is coming easily to them, they're able to accelerate their own learning as quickly as they want to work through the content of the course. That is in a careful partnership with LC, formerly LTC, which is a college near us that we have a partnership with. But that competency-based model really makes Rocket Academy unique. We have a few other features that I'll just keep sharing with you.
Yeah, please do. I think this is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. The students who are enrolled at Rocket Academy have their competency-based learning aspect, but they're also engaged in youth apprenticeships. So about half of the days of the week, they're on the job site working in the industry and the field that they've selected for their career pathway, getting to make industry connections, learning what it's like to be employed, showing up at the job site at 6 a.m, getting briefed by their boss on the tasks for the day. They're getting to really apply what they're learning in the classroom. So half the days in the classroom, half the days on the job site, which is really kind of a unique experience for kids. And they report that they like both of those. They like to be both at the job and at school.
When we talk about self-paced, we don't mean like they could take 3 years to do something it should take them 3 months to do, because they're in college classes and they have youth apprenticeships in general. So there are demands on these kids, but if they're struggling with something specific in machining or in welding, like there might be a little bit of time and extra work given to make sure that they are actually able to hit that competency before they're moving on. And yes, that is something we do in the workplace as well. I mean, if I'm struggling with a concept in my job, my boss isn't like, well, you should have had it done yesterday. Now we're done. The feedback loop can be a little bit bigger as they are actually having a lot of self-feedback because they are on these machines, because the building, the state-of-the-art building, isn't just a fabrication lab. It is a full-on workspace, and they are doing real actual work as they are learning on these tools, many of which I've seen them. I've been in that space. I drove out to go see the new building and I was blown away. I don't think that there's really very much like it in Wisconsin, period. So I think that's pretty cool. What are your hopes for this charter school in the future within your district? What would you like to see happen with it?
Yes, I'll tie that in with a few other features about the school, which is that as students progress through with their coursework, they're simultaneously earning high school credit and dual credit through the university, the college. So they're walking out as a graduate with industry credentials and certification. So again, those are unique factors that equip them for their future. I think
just what a launching point for them, to graduate with certifications from the college level in a field that they're wanting to enter into.
Right. I think what's really remarkable about that is that we're doing our best to equip them with technical skills of knowing how to perform in their career pathway. And currently we have three pathways. We have precision manufacturing tech, which is working with like CNC machines, that sort of thing. We have welding and metal manufacturing. So we have welding booths at the back that they're able to get their hands on and practice their welding techniques. And then our third pathway right now is HVAC installation and maintenance. So they're building industry skills. They're building durable skills, how to show up on time, how to be responsible, how to manage relationships in the workplace, and simultaneously earning high school and college credit on their transcript. So my hope is that over the coming years that our enrollment continue to increase, the director of the program likes to say we've had a 500% increase in enrollment since year one, which is really incredible. I don't know that we'll sustain that kind of growth, 500%, because we'd be bursting at the seams. But it is an important stage now that we just spread the word about this very unique opportunity for high school juniors and seniors in our area.
Liz, I'm going to ask a hard question. I know that there are, you know, in one of my former districts, there was an architecture and construction and electrical kind of, you know, part of the school. It was a program of the tech department. You know, it wasn't its own charter school. Why have, because it is a public charter school, that's one of the schools within Cedar Grove, Belgium. Why have a charter school as opposed to just a program as part of the high school?
Yes. And in fact, we have both. So we do have a very healthy tech ed department here in our comprehensive high school that meets the needs of many students.
Yeah.
Many learners get to explore different topics and areas within that department. And our charter school provides options, right? It's not in competition. It kind of extends opportunities for learning for kids who need just that. Some examples are perhaps students need a different model of education. If they want to get into the workplace and also do some classroom learning, this is the spot for them. It provides options for students who would benefit from that competency-based model, where marching along at the same pace as all of their classmates maybe isn't working for them. Mm-hmm. I think it also is an outstanding option for students who have a clear vision, who know this is what they want to do. And they've known since they were 12 or 13 or 14, maybe their dad has a shop. Maybe their mom runs a business that has a welding component to it. And so just having an option within the public school system through this charter school of Rocket Academy opens doors for students to excel in a way they might not in a typical high school classroom.
That is awesome. I kept hearing you use the word options. And again, coming back to what we talked about earlier with Illinois versus Wisconsin, there are these options, but I feel like what you're saying is these are options for our students and families. Like this is a pathway that is different. And that difference is actually a strength of our district versus an inhibitor, because you have an awesome tech program at the high school and you have this excellent charter school option for those who are wanting to take that course. I like that it's not, again, it's not in competition. It's in both and versus an either or. What needs to happen as you are moving forward as a district to continue to see that growth, see that health for the school, for the district with regard to these options?
Yeah, I think part of our next step is building awareness in our community. We are actively seeking industry partnerships, whether that is hosting a student tour group to come see their manufacturing facility and to help children see different options within the field. We're looking, of course, through our capital campaign for donors to make a mark in the community and to make an investment and commitment in the future of manufacturing in Wisconsin. And then also it's just demonstrating gratitude for our community. Our community has been unbelievably generous in supporting the launch of Rocket Academy. I couldn't be more thankful for the community's support. I think finally, our partnership with Works has been incredibly helpful too. Not every state or every district has the opportunity to work with charter experts. And what I really appreciate about Works is you're there for the health and success of the charter as a whole, making sure that it's a highly effective program that serves students. And those are all natural next steps for us.
Thanks for that compliment. I think that when we are looking at the fact that the trades are lacking sorely in people. And I know that we're seeing that in a lot of areas. We're seeing it in education, we're seeing it in business, but the trades specifically, which are so fundamental to things moving forward in society. I watch this old house all the time, and they're just consistently saying, we are struggling and we're headed into an even bigger struggle if we don't have kids entering into the trades. And so to give that option, I feel like is an investment in these individuals as students, but also into our community and our cities and our infrastructure and everything else that is going to need people doing machining and people doing welding and all the other, you know, threads that you're going to have kids moving through and getting certified in. So I think it is a service to all of us when you as a district do something like this, and we as an organization are so happy to support all the things you're doing. So thank you. Let's move on to some other things. Like I like to do a segment on our podcast that's called Paying It Forward. I'd like you to give a shout out to a teacher or adult when you were in school that made a huge difference in your life and how they did that.
As an educator, there's always so many influencing factors on how you've developed. But there's one person who really stands out for me. It was a technology teacher, and I grew up in an era in schools where classrooms were just starting to get computers. Desktop computers were just starting to enter into the education area. And I can remember this tech teacher just encouraging us to explore. We worked on graphic design. We worked on preliminary programming, like what does it look like to provide some code to this computer to make it do different things for you, was just such an innovative time. And I was always really inspired by that. And I think what really hooked me, of course, perhaps this will take you back, Tim. Do you remember the program Oregon Trail?
I totally remember Oregon Trail. Yes. I loved that game.
Yes, we also got to spend some time playing Oregon Trail. And you learn so much, not only from that experience, but realizing the power of the computer to kind of take you on this adventure. So I think they were just a key person in my development, helping me to see creative options integrating tech.
We also learned what dysentery was. So
yes, we did. We had to pack lots of water to make sure we survived.
I died a lot from dysentery in that.
All
game.
Of us died.
Well, that's an awesome shout out. Thank you, Liz. Just some fun questions that I like to ask toward the end of our interviews. So what's a guilty pleasure song that always gets you singing along?
Yes, I'm a fan of 80s music. Yes. And this one would be Wake Me Up Before You Go Go by Wham.
Yes, that is an awesome song. I appreciate that.
I don't sing that in public, but in the car with the windows down, I'm all in.
Is that Wham?
It is Wham.
Yes, yeah. Nice. I feel like I've had more Wham in my house coming through my Echo than ever before. So one last question for you. What's your hot take on something trivial? This can be like pineapple on pizza or the best fast food fries in the area. What's your hot take on something?
Yeah, I try to stay out of controversial topics, but Tim, I am committed to this one. I am committed that Pop-Tarts must be eaten at room temperature. They do not belong in a toaster. I am team room temperature on all Pop-Tarts.
I love that you chose this to say as your hot take. I couldn't agree more. I do not like toasted Pop-Tarts.
Right.
I appreciate them at room temp. I think that's great. And if that's as controversial as you're going to get, then that is just fine by me. So
there we go.
Liz Freeman, thank you so much for a chance to talk with you. And I'm going to openly say you are literally my first podcast guest. And I asked for you to be on this because I think I've been so impressed with the work you've done in your very first year as a superintendent. And I've gotten to know a lot of soups over the last year and a half working in my position, and have had, you know, I was at the state convention recently and had a chance to run into just a ton of people that I know. And I looked over at my director, Dr. Sarah Hackett, and said, I want Liz to be my first guest. And she said, do it. I just knew that the work you're doing in Cedar Grove, Belgium, and with Rocket Academy and with all of your schools is just phenomenal. So thank you for taking the time today out of a busy, snowy week and a crazy schedule this week to meet with me and be part of our podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity, Tim, and let's go Rockets.
Let's go Rockets. Thank you.
Thanks.